This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Every pirate captain captains pirates differently. Traditionally, piracy is a culture of abuse. And my thought is, why can't one be a gentleman and a pirate? We're swashbuckling. Let's have fun with it.
This is how you die.
Is you supposed to be?
I'm Steed.
He's a gentleman pirate.
You're an idiot.
So he's a fancy man with a fancy ship. He travels with a brigade of imbeciles. Do I have that right? Fascinating.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. Today, we're talking about a show that we've actually been really excited to talk about since it first was announced, since it first started showing, and that is Our Flag Means Death, which is out on HBO Go, actually.
How do you even describe the show? Explain it to someone, right? Because you can say pirates, you can say comedy.
Workplace comedy.
Workplace comedy, interestingly. But overall, you know, for me, it was a show that perfectly combines the kind of humor that this particular ensemble of people are really known for, but also with so much heart that by the end of it, I almost forgot that it was comedy. I was kind of left feeling so much that I didn't expect to feel.
I love this show so much. I think the best and worst things about reviewing a show like this is that we can't get into like why we like it. There are so many details that we have to leave out because they are spoilers, and we can't talk about why the show means so much and why we ended up like liking it so much once it was done. So it's one of those things that you have to check out, and then you have to let it unravel, and then hopefully you're pleasantly surprised by the end of season one.
What I will say and add on to that is when we say give it a shot, I think give it a shot at least up until episode four. Beginning is slow. It starts slow and it doesn't become the show it's going to be until really the second half of the season, but then it's so, so worth it. So Our Flag Means Death tells the story of a gentleman pirate, Steed Bonnet, who decides to, abandon a life of relative leisure and wealth and go off and become a really, frankly, terrible pirate. Very people-led his ship, which is good. And then along the way, by trying to legitimize his piracy, he runs into Edward Teach, or Blackbeard, the legendary pirate Blackbeard, and their paths cross, their crews cross, and that is when I don't think the adventures kick into high gear, but perhaps the story, I think, reaches a new dimension.
Edward Teach, born on a beach.
And that is exactly the level of punnery and humor that you get on the show. I think it is important, the first four episodes, right? It's not that the first four episodes are bad. In fact, they're actually very watchable.
They're sweet.
They're very sweet. But they feel like they're not quite connected. It's like you're still being introduced to the characters, who are great characters, by the way. Like, I love every single actor and character in the show. But it's only in the fourth episode that the disparate pieces kind of start fitting together. And you see where the show is going with it. So I wouldn't say that the first four episodes are not important. And also, they're like 30 minutes. So really, you can get through them very quickly. But I think a little bit of patience and a little bit of assurance that there is more to come is important with a show like this. But I love how the through line for the whole show is the you don't have to be what people expect you to be. And whether that's being a rich person, whether that's being a pirate, whether that's being straight or not, or friends or not, or any of these things, right? I think the show does such a good job of playing around with these themes and making a real case for people who don't quite fit in anywhere, and that's okay.
Also, I think you have to give the producers and the creators credit for going with a pirate theme show, especially after Pirates of the Caribbean, because those movies literally hijack the entire genre, right? So they've become such definitive pirate films that any other movie or any other show, I think making a pirate themed anything would look underwhelming and low budget and not good enough to be a pirate thing. This show does a very unique thing of borrowing from the Pirates movies, in the sense that the Pirates look similar. They're also comedic, so that funny tone is there. They go for the same-ish kind of jokes, but it's so impressive how it stands on its own. And I think that's a feat. Like, you have to give it credit for a new pirate show in 2022 to be able to stand by itself. Because throughout the thing, I didn't think much of Pirates of the Caribbean, even though some of the scenes look the same, even some of the costumes look the same. I didn't compare it to those giant blockbuster movies and go, oh, this is just like a half-hour TV show on a much smaller budget.
That 2022 thing is an important point, because there are a lot of... there are a lot of jokes that aren't specific to 1717, I will say. You know, the tone of the script and the humor and the way that people relate to one another, the way that they relate to people changing or not being who they thought they were going to be, all of that feels very modern. And I think that that is an important one to say, partly because you get some historical context to a degree. I think you get a glimpse of what life would have been like, for example, if you were a married woman who had to marry somebody for the sake of security or your family security. You get a really good sense of what life would be like there. You get a sense of what is expected of aristocracy. You know, you get those kinds of glimpses, but it's done in this very laid-back, idiosyncratic, kind of uniquely Kiwi kind of approach. I don't know whether I'm thinking it's Kiwi simply because it's got Rhys Darby and Taika Waititi in the main roles, but if you've seen them act together before, or if you've seen them at their separate projects from their home country, you know that that very... laconic and offbeat sense of humor is quite a signature of New Zealand sitcoms, which is what this feels like.
Oh, the offbeat humor is exactly it, I think, how to describe the humor of the show. There are moments where a particular line will sit right next to something really intense, and you can equally chuckle at it and then kind of tear up at the next thing, and they both work. What I really like about the show is that it wears its diversity heart on its sleeve so, so well, right? The cast is this great, diverse cast of people, but it doesn't paper over the challenges of that set in this time. So while the pirate crew, for instance, are people of all backgrounds, and they make a real case for why they're there. I mean, pirate crews are sourced from everywhere. But then they don't ignore race, because there are definite episodes or scenes where people who are black, for instance, are treated very differently from people who are white, and then it kind of flips the script and, you know, turns that kind of treatment into a strength. So the show is not unaware of the waters that it's treading in, but I think it's very keen on making a case for doing these things very thoughtfully and very mindfully while also being entertaining.
So I love how there's this new, new to American audiences, I think, brand of comedy that's very un-American in that sense. Schitt's Creek did the same thing, where it comes off on the surface as a sitcom. And you think it's just going to be this half hour sort of like funny ha-ha thing. And then one layer under that, it's way more poignant than you would give it credit for. Like, you wouldn't expect these things to show up in a half hour comedy, but then it does. So it tackles things that are way more important. It tackles themes, difficult themes. That bigger shows and quote-unquote better shows have attempted to tackle. And by the end of it, you realize that it's not a sitcom per se at all in the traditional sense. It's not even a comedy. It's funny and it's going for laughs, but it really has like bigger messages at the core that it wants to get across. They're way more interesting than your regular sort of half-hour comedies.
The show has such a huge heart, right?
Huge heart.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing about it, that the jokes aren't mean-spirited and they're often there to serve the story or, you know, to do something else, to achieve something else. The other thing I wanted to ask you both, and this is in reference to the pirates mentioned earlier, did we like how the show looked? Because from the first episode, the word that came to mind for me, and I'm not sure if it's because of Steed Bonnet, is because of how is that it looked really Swedish. The show itself looks like a Swedish show. You know, the props are very clearly props. The background, the flat sea, the background, everything looks actually very soundstagey and very prop heavy. I loved it. I mean, I started to get really accustomed to it, and I would find myself during the day wishing that I were in the world of the show. But it took a bit of an adjustment for my eye. And I think that that's because it comes from HBO and you therefore go like, oh, of course they could afford to send people to the Caribbean and commission a genuine ship from the 1700s or whatever. And it doesn't look like that.
No, it looks delightfully DIY. And I liked it. I think because from the first episode, the show kind of treads on this weird line of, is this real? Is this not? Is this something imaginary? Is this cobbled together from real stories? And so because of that, the kind of lo-fi vibe of the sets and even the action, like people have sword fights that look like just tapping at each other with swords. It just all felt off a piece with the vibe of the show.
I loved it. I love the aesthetics of the show. So the one thing that I was worried about is the green screen. So whenever you see people against the sea, you would be able to see like that weird cutout around them, and then you know that they're being green screened. This show didn't have that. So I don't know if they shot like if the soundstage had water on it, if they are doing it in a specific way. But I love that soundstagey look because it reminded me of one, SNL, and two, The Muppets. And I love The Muppets movies. And this gave me the same sort of vibe where the lighting doesn't look accurate. It doesn't look like they're in the sun. It looks way too bright, but it also looks like that kind of cozy half-hour thing that you can watch over dinner or just before going to bed or something like that.
We're talking today about Our Flag Means Death, which was created by David Jenkins. It's on HBO Go, and it tells the story of pirates. It's a workplace comedy. It's got a little bit of romance. It's kind of got it all. And we'd like to hear from you. Have you seen Our Flag Means Death? And did you like it as much as we did? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And while we're at it, if you're planning to watch it, you haven't yet, bring magic into your home with the all-new Astro Platinum Pack that has it all, the best of local entertainment and sporting events, the entire Netflix library, all of Disney Plus, Hotstar and HBO, and a variety of world-class content all in one place. Enjoy 60 days free subscription when you sign up today. Visit astro.com.my for more info. Terms and conditions apply.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
What we're about to do will be perilous. Some of us won't be coming back. Others may be devastated by what they've witnessed. So, if that's the case, what will we do? Something I've always encouraged.
Bottle it up.
No.
We talk about it.
Exactly. We talk it through as a
crew.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Tremola and Arvin, and we're talking about Our Flag Means Death, which is about the relationship and adventures between Steed Bonnet and off Steed Bonnet and Blackbeard, essentially. Let's talk about those two guys, because the cast is so funny. I enjoyed seeing them all so very much, and it's anchored in many ways by the twin performances and the chemistry of Rhys Darby and Taika Waititi, who have known each other for a really long time, who have worked together, and it shows, right? They have so much comfort, chemistry, and rapport on screen, and they're both so odd, so charismatic, which is an odd thing to say for this version of Steed Bonnet.
They are, right? They're charismatic in such different ways. I mean, you're kind of stuck with Steed, whether you like him or not, for the first four episodes.
The clothes are great.
The clothes are great, mm-hmm. And I think that for all of his failings, he means so well. Like, there's something about him.
You sound like his crew.
I do,
everybody,
right?
Everybody is Stockholmed by that guy.
I know, but he reads stories to them at night. Come on. Like,
that's how they get beached.
But I will say that the two representations of the two main men of the show are so different and so interesting, and they're both so good at it. Taika Waititi, my goodness, like probably one of my favorite TV performances easily in the last year.
Where did Taika Waititi even come from? Like, do you guys remember? Like, it's something that just happened, right, one day. Like, Taika Waititi wasn't there, and then he was there. And then all of a sudden, he's in all these great shows. And he's
you're
doing...
like, how did we ever live in a pre-Taika world?
I know, exactly. So it's like, am I wrong? Like, he made Thor Ragnarok. And then we find out that, okay, he made these movies, Hunt for the Wilder People, What We Do in the Shadows. He was working on that. And then all of a sudden, he's filmmaker slash actor slash comedian, and he's really...
Screenwriter. Plus personality at large.
At large. And he's so famous for all three things. And he's so good at what he does. Like, he's amazing in this show.
He really is. And I think actually those larger things that we know about the charisma magnet that is Taika Waititi feeds into this performance as Blackbeard, because he is so famous. Like, the show makes no bones about how famous he is. You know, people go around and go like, Blackbeard, what are you doing here? And he's like, shut up, I'll stab you. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on. And I think that it is, we talk a lot about stars, right? And how being a star feeds into your performances in a particular way. And I think that we're very much seeing that in Taika's performance. I was also reading an interview with the showrunner, David Jenkins, who was talking about how it's actually really fascinating working with Taika Waititi in particular, because he's a director. And because of that, you see him, in David Jenkins's words, directing himself, that you can actually see him kind of giving himself notes and saying, okay, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? I'll do it. And I don't know. There's just something really interesting about watching a multi-hyphenate at work in this show.
I loved the way he relates to Rhys Darby's character, to Steed Bonnet. And every time the two of them are on screen and an episode ends, I'm just like, oh no, I cannot wait for the next one because I want to see what happens between them. And I feel like that kind of magic is actually very difficult to capture.
And it's so interesting how, like, every character, or most of the characters, have like their own arcs and their whole their own like evolution. There's like a trajectory for each of them when the show starts and then when the show ends, or the end of season one at least. And you see that most of them have either grown or changed and they've become different, which is so weird. It's such a weird approach to a show that's like barely 25 minutes long.
Even if your relationship was with a seagull.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Mm. So, you know, we're talking about them relating to one another as if they're all like hardened pirates who are learning to love or something. When in fact, you know, half of them are just a collection of oddballs and misfits and just finding their path towards coexisting on a ship. And yet, when something pivotal happens with one of the characters and one of the other characters that he relates to most, you know, it's actually really, really heartbreaking. And I think it's a neat trick what the show managed to do. Also, this idea of, look, I think in terms of what we sell as the pirate lifestyle, right? Like most of us, when we're kids, we read about pirates and there's a certain level of romanticization that goes on about what it is that they do. This show, I think, does it differently in the sense that it shows you the tedium of it all. To a degree, like how boring the act of being on the high seas can actually be. But the other side of it is that beyond the swashbuckling, it's also about how people find homes. And how people find homes in one another. Again, it's an odd thing to say about a show that's so weird and, you know, kooky, but it really does that very well.
And I think that's why it's so important that the cast was so strong, right? Like you said, the fact that they have very distinct personalities, they're played by such good actors, people like Joel Fry and Viggo Ortiz and Samson Keo.
Ewan Bremner's in this.
Yes, exactly. Rory Kinnear pops up. Not to mention all of the SNL alums that you never thought were, you know, Fred Armisen, Leslie Jones, then Will Arnett comes out of nowhere. Like, it's such a great cast and all of them are distinctive. They all leave an impression on you.
Sorry, I just need to give a bit of love to Rory Kinnear because I feel like we've been seeing Rory Kinnear in more serious things for a while now. And to watch him play this particular role in this particular way, man, he's really going for the cheap seats and I love it. It's so funny.
Which is why I wanted to see so much more in this season, which is weird for me personally because I love when seasons end when they're supposed to end. So 8 episodes, 10 episodes, just cap it. I wish this show was about maybe 15 or 16 episodes long because it's so easy to watch. It's so breezy.
The showrunner has said that if they get renewal, what they're hoping for is 3 seasons. He thinks that they can wrap it up in 3 seasons.
I think that sounds about perfect. I understand what you're saying, but I also feel like the show stopped just when it needed to. And now you have a little bit of time to breathe and think anymore with these characters. Because I don't know whether if the next phase was immediate, that it would earn it as much.
I want to see a prequel with Blackbeard, just Blackbeard on his
100%.
Adventures.
Look, we all clearly have a collective show crush on Blackbeard. Like I don't think we need to hide it. But I agree. I mean, I also think going back to what we said earlier about the larger themes within the show, right? And this idea of renewal or of change. I think that the show didn't have to be as traumatic as it was. And I'm glad that it was. I don't mean that as a criticism. I just mean that it's very easy to just say like, it's just a rich guy who never really wanted to do this and has now gone on to do something else. But instead, the way that Steed's childhood traumas and experiences are expressed, the way his regrets about his relationships before he takes to sea, all of those things come back in sequences that are actually very weirdly harrowing. You know, when you watch it, you're like, oh, good Lord, you know, I feel that I need an escape from this.
This guy's seen stuff.
Exactly. And then you have a comedic sequence. But the point is that the traumatic bits in the story, they don't mess around. They're really there.
The show never takes on a tough topic and then treats it too lightly. It might treat it with a light touch, but it always, always has a reason. And it really goes there. Like, there are moments where you're just like, whoa, like, that's what that is. And I think that's to the show's credit.
I mean, even with Steed, he's not always likable. Like, he's the leading guy. And sometimes it's only him in the episodes. You don't even see Blackbeard. And there's a lot of scenes where you get annoyed with him. He's a doofus. And you're like, what is he doing?
He's putting for sale.
Yeah. And he puts everyone else in danger and his decisions are weird. And he's not a hyper likable person, some of his choices. So, and the show does such a good job at showing you that people have different sides and he has different sides. And that whole, again, going back to that, you know, characters have different arcs and trajectories and stuff. Such good writing.
This is one of the most surprising shows I've seen in a while.
Same. Mm.
I think that was the main thing that struck me. When I watched it, I was excited about it because, I mean, pirates, Taika, Rhys Darby, I'm all in. And then I watched it and it still managed to surpass expectations and really, really surprise and delight. I wanted to rewatch certain scenes over and over again.
I already want to rewatch it. I also think that it's best if you go in without reading up too much about it. Just with the bare bones, watch it with an open mind.
I think so. It's one of those things you have to go in blind, just let it like surprise you along the way. And again, just going back, it doesn't take a lot of investment, which is the best thing. So I think they don't give you a lot of details in the trailers. They don't tell you a lot with the marketing and stuff. I think that was done on purpose. So if you can just give it 25 minutes of your time for the first 4 episodes, I think you'll end up loving it.
We're talking today about Our Flag Means Death. Let us know, did you like it? Have you seen it? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And if you haven't seen it and want to, bring magic into your home with the all-new Astro Platinum Pack that has it all. The best of local entertainment and sporting events, the entire Netflix library, all of Disney Plus Hotstar and HBO, and a variety of world-class content all in one place. Enjoy 60 days free subscription when you sign up today. Visit astro.com.my for more info. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.